is the Battle Hymn of the Republic on the special edition of Mark and Friends this July the 4th, Independence Day, 2013. It's the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. I am your host, Joey Kroll, and I love this time of the year. I really do. It gives me a time to just spend some time with loved ones, obviously enjoy some fireworks, sit down, enjoy some festivals and cookouts and so forth. But also, this is the time of the year where I get to focus on the independence and the freedom that we have in this country. I am somewhat disappointed in where our country is headed, but still, friend, I can open up my Bible in public without facing persecution or being thrown in prison. I can mention the name of Jesus on this radio station without fearing for my life. And for that, I am so grateful. I may not be happy in the direction of this country, but praise God, we have freedom to walk around and talk about Christ. Where we have brothers and sisters in other countries who are persecuted on an hourly basis because of their faith. So friend, I hope and pray that you have a time to reflect on why we celebrate this day, the Declaration of the Independence of our country. As my kids like to call it, the birthday of America. So I think they just want any excuse to have cake. So, and I'm okay with that. But I hope and pray, though, you do have a chance to set aside some time to celebrate and process and think of why we celebrate this day today and the freedoms that we have in this country compared to the other countries in the world. Well, friend, it is so good to be spending some time here with you today. So good to see you and so forth. Lots of stuff happening this weekend. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I know my wife and I and the kiddos are going to watch some fireworks this evening. But starting tomorrow, you're invited to an outdoor music festival that will be happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, July the 5th through the 7th. It's the Audio Feed Music Fest happening July the 5th through the 7th. This Friday through Sunday at the Champaign County Fairgrounds in Urbana. Music starts at 12 noon each day, and it's going to continue beyond midnight. And there's an opportunity for you to camp out and bring your campers and so forth. You do have to register for that, though, but it's going to be so, so well worth it. And the music and the bands that are going to be there, probably more target towards the kids and grandkids, but this is just a wonderful opportunity to have fellowship and hear these groups and these bands and these men and women singing and performing the entire weekend, lift up Jesus through their talents and the music. There's also going to be a revivalist from Kentucky going to be there this weekend as well. This is just a great opportunity for fellowship and to hear some great God-honoring music. And you might remember Jim and Jennifer being interviewed by Mark Burns on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, talking about the event. So you can listen to the archive program, the archive program portion of the website, greatnewsradio.org, to hear the full interview and get all the details on what's going to happen this weekend. But if you want more details on the festival itself, audiofeedfestival.com. That's audiofeedfestival.com. Or by calling 217-671-1450. That's 217-671-1450. Well, friend, our devotion for today will be coming from the book of Psalms. In fact, Psalm 51. We're going to be taking a look at that as part of our devotion today, right after Rich Mullins and Step by Step.
Seek you in the morning, and I
That's Rich Mullins and Step by Step here on the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. An elderly woman didn't like the way her pastor prayed each Sunday morning, so she told him. It bothered her that before he preached that he would confess to God that he had sinned the week before. "Pastor," she said, "I don't like to think my pastor sins." Well, Fred, I don't know about you, but we would like to believe that our spiritual leaders don't sin, but reality tells us that no Christian is exempt from the burdens of the sinful nature. So my question for you today is, how would you define sin? If you were to look it up, it would tell you an immoral act considered to be a transgression against divine law. Or as I like to put it, as I teach my kids, it's something that we do that God doesn't like. How would you define the word repentance? Definition that's common is remorse for your past conduct. I would put it down as owning your sin. When you confess it, you own it. Don't make any excuses about it. But also, you put yourself in a position to prevent doing it in the future. They say repentance clears the way for us to walk with God. And in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 5, David is writing the psalm. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Now David, who is writing the psalm, do you know his background, where he's coming from as he is writing this psalm? From the roof of his palace, David saw a beautiful woman, Bathsheba. She was bathing, and he slept with her. She became pregnant. He had her husband killed so he could quickly marry her and try to cover up his sin. Yet God was displeased with David, so he sent the prophet Nathan to explain he had seen what David had done. I'll tell you what, friend, we need some Nathans in our life, don't we? We need godly men and godly women to stand up that are led by God, called by God, to call out the sin. This psalm gives us David's response, and in this response we see how the new creation heart responds to sin. The new man, not the old man, the new man. The old man is who we were before we accepted Christ in our life. This is a response that we see the new man responding to sin. See, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not that a Christian never sins. It's that when he does sin, he confesses it and fights against sinning again. He takes God's side against his sin instead of sin's side against God. And you can tell in Psalm 51, it's the song of a new creation heart, because only this kind of heart truly stops hiding and stops trying to justify itself. Only this kind of heart, friend, truly mourns sin that was against God. Can you think of an occasion in your life in which you did something wrong and deep down you knew it was wrong, but on the surface you didn't want to admit it? Maybe it was a lie. Maybe it was your tone with your spouse. Perhaps you even try to convince yourself that your action was not wrong. You were justified, right? That's just like Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam said, "God, this woman whom you gave me is at fault." We give a lot of excuses to justify our sin, don't we? Big time. We justify our sin by downplaying the magnitude. It's his fault. It's not that bad. Or at least it wasn't murder. We shift the blame, don't we? We don't want to be found out as a fraud. So all our defenses go up. This is how the world responds to sin. It refuses to fess up. But friend, we are not of this world. Amen? And regardless of what you call it, sin is still sin. Sin is still sin. You can call it a little white lie, it's still sin. You can call it payback, it's still sin. You can call it equal rights, it's still sin. No matter how you cover it up, whatever you call it, it's still sin. Sin is sin. And we like to make the black and white really blurry and gray. But when you become a Christian and the Spirit begins to move in you, you feel like you need to confess that sin. You hear that buzzer going off and you begin to realize how bad that decision or that word was. You find yourself able to confess your sin. Now think about this for a second, friend. How is it that a person becomes free to confess? I mean, they feel free to confess their sin. So how is it that a person becomes free to confess their sin? Here's a remarkable answer. Being justified before God does not depend on our righteousness, but on God and His character. Let me say that again. Being justified before God does not depend on our righteousness, but on God and His character. Look at verse 1 in Psalm 51. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." See, the psalmist knows that it's God's faithful love and compassion that are his only hope for forgiveness, not his clean track record. And where has God's faithful love and compassion been revealed most fully? At the cross of Christ. That's right. Jesus took upon himself, friend, the punishment that you and I deserve. It's not that God simply overlooks sin. No, God is good and he must punish sin. And the good news is that Jesus took on that punishment so that we are now free to take the words of David into our mouths where he says, "Wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin, for I am conscious of my rebellion and my sin is always before me." Friend, all sin is exposed before the eyes of God. All sin. God knows it all. He is omnipresent. He is sovereign. He is omniscient. He knows all. So why continue to hide your sin? See, I don't know about you, but sometimes when there's unconfessed sin in my life, it just kind of puts a strain on the relationship with God. I don't know about you, but it's like a white elephant in the room. It's like an elephant in the middle of a room. It's just awkward and just weird to where it kind of puts a hinder on your relationship with God. See, we may successfully fool others, but God knows our hearts, friend. He knows our hearts. We're under grace. See, friend, a refreshing plunge into God's great mercy awaits you on the other side of confessed sin. A refreshing plunge into God's great mercy awaits you, friend, on the other side of confessed sin. God is so good. He really is. Repentance is the soil in which forgiveness flourishes. So friend, let's confess our sin today. Let's bring it to the Lord. Let's not make excuses anymore. That's what the world does. We are not called to be of this world, but we are called to be biblical. We are called to be sons and daughters. And we are called to crucify our flesh. And in closing today, friend, I'm going to read Psalm 51 verses 1 through 5 from the Message translation. I think it does a beautiful job of portraying this passage. Psalm 51 verses 1 through 5 from the Message translation says, "Generous in love, God give grace. Huge in mercy, wipe out my bad record. Scrub away my guilt. Soak out my sins in your laundry. I know how bad I've been. My sins are staring me down. You're the one that I violated, and you've seen it all, seen the full extent of my evil. You have all the facts before you. Whatever you decide about me is fair. I've been out of step with you for a long time, in the wrong since before I was born." Friend, let's follow the footsteps of David today, and let's have a repentant heart, and let's be honest and real and open with the Lord. Thank you. acoustic version of Amazing Grace. I love that version. Right here on Great News Radio, this Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. And friend, thank you so much for letting me just tag along with you today here on this 4th of July. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow, it's the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Mark and Jason in the studio as they continue their study on the book of Acts. Until next time, friend, remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus. Have a wonderful and blessed 4th of July.